spells out how we can find God through seeking Him, through understanding Him, through adapting our hearts to Him. And this morning we're continuing on in the book of Psalms. We come to 42, and which enters another section of the book of Psalms. I mentioned earlier that Psalms is really divided in five sections. This is really the beginning of section two, or referred to as book two of the book of Psalms. Psalm 42 to 72 is book two. But this morning we're going to look at a group of Psalms, beginning with Psalm 42. And again, a quick flyover. And Psalm 42, it's a psalm after seeking and longing after God. That's the one we're going to look at this morning a little more in detail. Psalm 43 really probably at one time belonged with Psalm 42 for its much of the same content, but ends with hope in God. Psalm 43 is a prayer for the distressed. Psalm 44 is a prayer for distress, and Psalm 45 is a psalm of the great king. We're going to touch on that. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, the present help in time of need. We're going to look there this morning. The Lord shall subdue all nations regarding his future reign, Psalm 47. And then 48 is the praise or the beauty of Mount Zion, speaking in a future tense. But looking at this section, you know, I encourage everyone to read along, try to stay, you know, with the rate of progress as we go through the scripture. If you could read it at home, you know, the section of Psalms, and then maybe take another 7, 8 Psalms for next week, 10 Psalms, and just stay, you know, the more you're consciously aware of, you know, what we go through, the more the Lord will speak to you, because He speaks through His Word. And this morning, we're going to look at finding God, seeking Him, in Psalm 42. Let's turn there in verse 1. I'm going to read the Psalm. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Father, again, as we come before you, we thank you for your word, Lord. We ask that you'd open our heart, open the understanding of our spirit, and fill us with your spirit, Lord. We look to you for freedom, deliverance, enlightenment, truth, love, growth, strength, because you are our sustainer, Lord, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Seeking God. Some say it was David who wrote this psalm, but we don't know for sure. But the writer of the psalm, right at the beginning of verse 1, uses a picture of a deer that pants after the water brooks. A thirsty deer. As an illustration of seeking God. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul seeks and thirsts after you, Lord. The measure of thirst of this deer he gives and matches. Nature gives us, you know, the illustration by itself. Every living life form on earth needs water to live and survive. It's natural to thirst. You see some of these nature programs, I'm sure I've seen this one, specific one, two or three times, where somewhere in Africa, you know, following the rainy season, there's so much bustling life form and the animal kingdom just living. And then the summer months and drought come and dry up the region, and then they head to this, you know, in unison, this big migration to the water. They head for the water because of their thirst and the need for their thirst. Our dog, when he's thirsty, he comes up to my chair and he starts scratching my leg. He gets kind of crouches up on me, scratches my leg, looks up at me. And he communicates. He's a smart little dog. She's a smart little dog. I'm not as smart, but she is. But she knows how to get water. When she's thirsty, she scratches my leg. And I get up and get her water. It's an obvious need for water in nature. And he gives this illustration of a deer panting for the water brooks. He likens the, you know, natural example, picture, illustration, to that of his own need for God. Man has a need for God. Whether we realize it or not, we've realized it. Many do not. Still, God's put in man a need and a thirst for contact, for interaction with God. A thirst within man, as the writer of the psalm says, you know, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so do I, Lord. So pants my soul for you, O God, recognizing his need. Some try to quench their, you know, need and thirst that God has placed in them, you know, with empty pursuits. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is really about. Solomon, the writer, talks about his, you know, he tried everything. His pursuit of pleasure, his pursuit of wisdom and knowledge, his pursuit of accomplishments, his pursuit of wealth, women. Taking his pursuits of anything. Whatever my heart longed for, I did not withhold it. He had the wherewithal to take and get and receive anything he wanted. He used to send for merchant ships to go get some apes from Africa. Give me some of them monkeys. Bring her back. He had anything and everything he wanted. And at the end of every pursuit, he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, it was empty. It's empty. I took pleasure to its end. And I felt empty. There's emptiness. There's no satisfying. There's no quench of my thirst that God has put in my heart. Knowledge, wisdom, accomplishments. Taking everything to its course, he came up with the same conclusion. Vanity, vanity, it's empty. The Bible tells us that, you know, in this section, if you turn to Psalm 49, look in verse 16. He touches on riches. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself, for men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his son, and they shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like a beast that perishes. Money doesn't satisfy nor quench the thirst. You know, and the writer of the psalm touches on that pursuit coming up empty. But the writer of the psalm, you know, acknowledges his thirst, seeking after God. And he's turning to God. Some acknowledge their thirst, some do not, but God still places in every man a thirst, a need for him. My soul thirsts for the living God, he says. Some of the lyrics we sing in the song coming right out of here. My soul thirsts for the living God. It's kind of interesting because he's our answer. He's the only one that'll quench the thirst that he put in us. The living God. Life comes from the living God. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a spiritual pursuit, thirst, need that needs to be satisfied by God that he puts in man. Jesus said, you must worship him in spirit. You have to. If we don't, we'd be unsatisfied, left thirsty. Jesus, when asked by the woman at the well for a drink, he asked the woman at the well, he said, give me a drink. The woman at the well says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Samaritans, Jews, they have no dealings with one another. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water. You know, he went on to say, you drink this water from the well, you'll thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I can give or shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. See, the writer understood. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and the water that I have to acknowledge. Some acknowledge, some don't. Some know, some don't. Some are cognizant, some are not. But trying to reach the woman at the well, you know, phrasing, illustrating, communicating to her. Here the writer does understand. You know, as the deer pants for the water brook, so does my soul pant after you, thirst for you, O God. You're the living God. And I know my thirst can only be quenched with you. The writer of the psalm tapped in. He's acknowledged. He's cognizant. He's realized. He's acknowledged that the living God is the one who meets our need, satisfies our thirst for life. In this psalm, we see, you know, his not only seeking God, but seeking rest for his soul. He was in a hard place. The Bible tells us in a literal sense, the writer of the psalm in verse 6 says, oh, my soul is cast down, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. He was in the wrong place. He was on the other side of the Jordan. He longed to worship God. But in order to worship God, you had to go to Jerusalem, to the temple. So he said, oh, man, I'm way over here. And I need to worship you. I need to contact you. I need to be with you. as in a literal sense, the writer of the psalm is longing and seeking and thirsting for God and frustrated being on the other side of the Jordan. In this psalm, three times he mentions, "My soul is cast down." One time in the next psalm, 43, he mentions the same thing. "My soul's cast down." It's the state of his soul. Down. Went south, as it were. He had a sourness in his heart and spirit, his relationship with God. His soul was cast down. Another place in the psalm says, disquieted. That means he lacked peace in his own soul, in his own heart. He had a state of unrest. Verse 3, he says, "My tears." He was downcast. He was bummed out. He was depressed. He says, "My tears." He mentions the taunts of the enemy. "Where is your God?" twice over in the psalm. You know, he's being challenged by the sarcasm of another, looking at his faith in him. "Where's your God?" sarcastically. Like you're with him and he's with you. Look at you. Now, he's in this state, the state of his soul, downcast. In verse 4, he mentions, as he recounts, he remembers the way things used to be. Verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude." He used to be connected with God's people. "I went with them to the house of God." He used to be connected in the church, with the church. "With the voice of joy and praise, I used to worship." He recounts because it's miserable for someone that's tasted and taken part with God, God's people, plugged in, connected with God in the church, and then fallen away or drifting away, backslidden, to think back, "Oh man, it used to be so good. That was some good times in my life. I used to was hanging out with the multitudes, make the pilgrimage. 3 times all the male Jews would go to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover and tabernacles." He recounts how things used to be. In verse 9, he felt forgotten by God, downcast, the state of his soul. "God forgot me." It's like as if he doesn't even know my name. "He forgot where I live." Disconnected from God. Downcast. State of his soul. Oppressed by the enemy, the Bible says. He mourned. He was depressed. He was bummed out. He was negative. Verse 7. In another description, he says, "All your waves and billows have gone over my head." Kind of felt like he was out in the water and without a boat. You know, the waves crashing over his head and underwater. You know, up the creek without a boat. The waves crashing. You know, you feel like when you're underwater and you don't want to be. You know, and downcast, waves crashing into him. There's a, back in Central Florida, you know, I studied to be a firefighter at one time. And part of the course, you know, we went through minimum standards firefighting, was the assessment of the fire chief when he arrived on the scene. He'd come on the scene, the instructor told us that he would set up a command post, assess the damage and the fire and the problem and the source and the root, you know, take a survey on what's going on, and then address the problem. This is much like what the writer of the psalm does. He assesses, "I'm cast down." In truth, he acknowledges the truth. "I'm not in a good place. I don't have peace. My state of unrest. I'm oppressed." Then he addresses, "You know, I'm in the wrong place. I'm on the other side of the Jordan. It's not God's plan for me to be too far south in my..." You know, I was thinking about, you know, the advertisement, "Come on up to Michigan. Get the upper hand." You know, God, we all know that God lives in Michigan. He went to Ohio once, but but when your spirit and your heart and your soul goes south, the truth of him acknowledging, assessing the truth of his state of his soul in truth. I'm oppressed. I'm hurt. I'm downcast. I don't have peace. Assesses it, but then he addresses direction to his soul. Hope in God, he says. Then it takes the upper hand in his soul. Nice, you know, I'm downcast. Get it together. Hope in God. Exercise your faith. Look up as he directs his own soul. He, in the psalm, says, yet will I praise him. You know, he's, two places he says he's the help of my countenance, or that means the salvation. He's my salvation. Maybe you could be in downcast, but you hope in God and look to him. You're my salvation, Lord. You're my source of help. I'm downcast. I don't feel good. But he recognizing and acknowledging who quenches his thirst, who the deliverer is, turning to him. I hope in God. I turn to God. You're my salvation, Lord. Addressing the problem, directing his soul to hope in God. I like this verse in Psalm 43. Look in verse 3. Oh, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Help me, Lord. Bring light. Bring truth. Deliver me. Raise me up and cast down. You know, lead me by your truth and your light, O Lord. You know, I see in this psalm, you know, him seeking for God, him seeking for rest for his soul, but him finding God. That's what happens when you seek God, is you find him. It happens when I seek God, I find him. That's what happens when we turn to him, we find him. He reveals himself to us. When we rely upon him as our salvation, as our deliverer, he shows himself, he manifests himself. It's when we don't, is that we are deprived from his help. But he does. He recognizes who his help is. I like in, look over in Psalm 45, in verse 6. This is a psalm that's quoted in the New Testament. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of your kingdom. You know, it's quoted by the author of the book of Hebrews, and it's quoted in the context showing that Jesus is God. Recognizing the source of our help. Remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he says, if you knew who I am. In truth, finding God, finding our help, is understanding and acknowledging who Jesus is. He's God. He's the fountainhead of our help. To turn to him. That's what he said to the woman at the well. If you knew the gift that I have and who I am, you would ask me for a drink. And I would give you living water. I would satisfy your need. Who Jesus is, recognition of who he is, finding God. In Psalm 46, this is probably the most turned to psalm on 9/11, 9/12, 9/13, 2001. When the towers fell, everybody was freaking out. But I remember hearing this psalm read over and over again. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the towers fall, even though the economy collapses. God is our refuge and our strength, the place we go to. our help, a present help in time of need. He's our strength. He's our salvation. He's our security. Even though, in Psalm 46, he says, even though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with swelling, though there's instability and insecurity and a storm and a lot of movement around us, no matter what happens around us, the Bible tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of need. Who he is. That's the right place to go. Seeking God and looking for peace for his soul. You go to the right place. God is our refuge and our strength no matter what's going on around us. In verse 4 of this Psalm 46, he mentions, you know, contrasting these violent storm and waves and tempestuous, choppy waters. He says, there's a river. I like this. He mentions Psalm 46, he says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Contrasting, you know, storms or problems or what's happening outside, or a downcast soul, or an oppressed soul, or troubles or unrest in our heart, not having peace. Oh, there's a river whose streams, notice he says, whose streams make glad. It's not something that we do. It's something that the river does. Oh, my soul is downcast. Him exercising, recognizing the source of his help, turns to the water, the gift that Jesus gives. Oh, the river written about in the book of Ezekiel. You know, makes glad by virtue of contact the gift of God. And then verse 10, at the end of Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Finding God, finding rest for our souls, peace in our heart. Be still, know that I am God. That's what he said, remember? If you know who I am, know that I am God. Be still, find rest. Take a dip. The answer to our thirst and our seeking is finding. In Revelation, at the end of the consummation, the return of Jesus Christ and ushering in the new kingdom, he mentions in chapter 22, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. That's in red letters. Verse 17, John gives a footnote. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of the life freely. Drink. I like this because, you know, I was reading about the river that comes from the temple. And Ezekiel's there and he says, Son of Man, he gives them this vision. Oh, and then the waters came. They started gushing out of the temple and first they're ankle deep. He's just sitting there. He's watching the water come. Then it's knee high. Then waist high. Then the Bible says, it's over his head. Then he says, he couldn't stand. He was caught up in the current, kind of like a rapids. That's how gushing the river came. But then the Bible tells us he couldn't hardly swim from the bank. The water was beyond his comprehension, greater than his idea of what's coming. Then, it's interesting, Ezekiel placed him on the bank. He says, watch what the water does. Whatever it touched, it healed. It says, wherever the water goes, it heals. Went into the Dead Sea, healed the Dead Sea. Not the marshes, not what was not designated to be touched by the water. But whatever his spirit touched, whatever the living water came in contact with. I like this because, in truth, you know, the author or the writer of the psalm says, I'm downcast. I need help. But turning to recognition of who he is, turning to the right source of help. You know, yes, I recognize who you are, Jesus. And yes, I want a drink. Yes, I'll take the gift. Jesus said it's the water of life. It's living water. Whatever it touches, it heals. It'll become in you a fountain of life, springing up into everlasting life, Jesus said. Spiritual. Finding him. Seeking God. The thirst quencher. Finding rest and peace for our soul. Finding him through the recognition of who he is. You know, he came to bring us to God. He came to bring us life. He came to heal us. He came to deliver us. He came to rescue us. If you knew who I am, Jesus said, sitting at the well there, to the woman at the well. You know, it's interesting when you read that story. You know, I read it many times. See something different every time. He says, you know, give me a drink. And she's like, fussing, hey, why is it? Right away, she's in an argument, contention. How come you're talking to me? You don't talk to me that way. That's not the way it works in my mind. So right away, she's got a wall up between her and Jesus' invitation. Then she says, you know, he says, you know, if you knew who I am, then you'd ask me for a drink and I'd give you living water, the gift that I have, the water I possess. But her, she don't even have a bucket. How can you draw water? You can't give me water. You're incapable. Through my understanding, through my ideas, my arguments, my blindness, my ignorance, my stupidity. But Jesus, in his persistence and his love, you know, go tell your husband. You know, breaking through, communicating to her with the gift, with life, with freedom, communicates to us. And I notice that it's just by virtue of contact brings a deliverance. Oh, find God. You gotta, you know, find God. And it's some kind of, you know, disciplinary action. No, it's not. Finding God is what Jesus said. You would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you one. If you knew who I am and the gift that I want to give you, you ask me. Simply. Not through some regimented, you know, course of action. He addressed the problem. But simply through faith, simply through asking, receiving his life, his spirit. And then in the picture Ezekiel gives of the living river of water typifying the Holy Spirit, healing everything it comes in contact with. Come in me, Lord. Give me peace. Give me right perspective. Gush in me. You know, in truth, that's the Bible's, you know, invitation. Come on. Remember David's mighty men who swam the Jordan at flood time. Come on, let's take a swim. Come on in. I mean, but we don't get it so easily or readily. He breaks it down for us. You know, to overcome my ideas, Lord, do have your way. Lord, help me understand who you are and what you're offering. And lay down my stupid arguments. You can't help me. It was... let's stand. Then the river, as it gushes in, sweeps him off his feet. God's plan and God's spirit is bigger than our ideas. Then, you know, he is taken up by a current, no longer directing his own life, but now being directed by his life, his current, his spirit. Lord, we look to you and we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for preserving through the book of Psalms the truth of the thirst of the writer of this psalm and him taking his thirst to the living God to acknowledge you as the one that satisfies his thirst, acknowledging you as his deliverer, his salvation, his source of help. For God is our refuge, our strength, our help in time of need, present help in time of need. We turn to you, Lord. Do sweep us off our feet. Lord, cause us to lay down our ideas that you can't give us a drink because you don't have a bucket. And the well is deep, and there's no rope, and all our reasons. Cleanse us, Lord. We look to you. We look to you for your promises to be fulfilled. We look to you for life everlasting, abundantly. And Lord, we, no matter what happens around us, there's a river who makes peace and heals whatever it touches. We turn to you. It comes from you. From you to us. Let us receive what you have for us, Lord. We thank you for your word. We ask that you seal your word in our understanding. Open our eyes and our heart and our faith. Cause us to simply ask and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.